everybody, welcome back to the Great and Terrible AHS. We are here to discuss episode 12 of season 3, Go to Hell. You're not going to believe what they do at the end of this episode. it's outrageous. And I'm here to discuss it with Miss Shadow Lovely and Slow Beef. Hey, team.
Hey.
Hello.
How's it going?
Are you ready for maybe the most disappointing death you've ever seen in a piece of media? Because it happens this episode. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. That's your spoiler to hook you for the next two episodes, by the way. But holy shit. This episode in general has a lot of things where I'm like, it's so poorly done that I would assume there's going to be another twist, except I know how many episodes are left in this season, and I know it can't be a twist, and oh my god, oh my god.
Yeah. This is this nosedive.
Yeah.
Remember this season started good?
It nosedives.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was fun. I was having a great time. So we start with the most important thing. That's right, baby. The Seven Wonders are back. They're relevant, I guess. Maybe. They're not. They could be, though. Think about it. And it's this, like, black and white film, a silent movie, where they had witches try to, like, pantomime magic using bad stage effects. And they run through it. And we have, and the way they describe it is they're like, the seven wonders, the things that push our magic beyond craft and into truly an art form and show mastery. And then the first one's like telekinesis. And I'm like, I've seen no less than four women have telekinesis on the show. It really doesn't seem like it's like that level of mastery, right? Because like,
no.
Everyone's just doing telekinesis all the time. Like when I think of mastery of something or like pushing into an art or like, you know, into an art from a craft or whatever, that's like, it has to be something like complicated with a lot of nuance and stuff and not just like the first thing someone does on reflex, which is what I feel like telekinesis is. But regardless, there are six others.
I also
the next one is consulum. Yeah.
I think it's concilium. Yeah.
Yeah. Conclium.
I feel like all seven wonders are at different points in the season, like described as the hardest one to do, but then all the like student witches do them like right away. You know, it's like it. But yeah, what is consulum again?
No, like, studying or training either,
yeah.
Right? Like, it would be one thing if they're like, pyrokinesis is really fucking hard, and then we had, like, a bunch of little clips here and there of, like, Zoe focusing on a match and being like, and then nothing happens. All sorts of media does this, whether it be kung fu, anime, or, you know, Marvel movies. But yeah, the idea of, like, you focus on a thing, and then you get better, and there's, like, a trial and tribulation. But it's never that. It's always they're just like, it would be convenient to be able to read someone's mind right now. And then they're like, great, I'm going to do it. And yeah, concilium is their term for mind control. And then they say transmutation. They don't mean transmutation, to be clear. They mean teleportation. These are different things. When they first demonstrated on the film, they just show like a witch poofing into a cloud of smoke and appearing somewhere else. And I'm like, oh, okay, maybe they like didn't, you know, have the... You know, we're supposed to assume the witches didn't have the budget to like show someone turning into like a pigeon or whatever. No, they just don't know what transmutation means.
You say the budget. Like, this is just Fiona talking to somebody. Like, I don't know why we're being shown a silent film. It's just Fiona talking.
Oh, no, this is like a little, yeah, there's like a little silent film thing. Yeah. And it shows them like poofing into a cloud of smoke, like right at the beginning. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's interesting because they do it like that. Like, I know exactly what you're saying because it's almost like they put together like a low budget silent film with like bad special effects. So you might even think like, is this something produced by the witches? But it's just an artistic choice of American Horror Story's part for some reason. And
it's just Fiona sitting at a table talking to Queenie, and for some reason it's illustrated as this weird silent film with like flashcards. And
it's an,
not
oh, I just
great.
Assumed there was a film
no.
and we, the audience, were being shown the film for simplicity's sake. And it was just like in universe, there was an understood film while she was explaining this. But this is just entirely a figment of the audience's imagination, I guess.
Yeah, it gets, well, wow. I can't even get into why.
You don't see
because
a lot of media.
I understand why you might think that too, but Slowby from the future is going to say, you'll find out for sure that this was a complete figment of the audience's imagination. And it's really weird why you would find that out, but you do. It's, don't know.
Not a lot of media is willing to take that swing of just straight up, like, pointing at the camera and being like, you made this up.
You said this. You said this is what it was. Which, like, which brings me to, like, part of the most, like, confused, since we're on transmutation, which is actually teleportation in this media for some reason, the most infuriating thing about this is, in case you aren't, like, keeping track, this is the penultimate episode, meaning that the next episode is the finale. They introduce, like, four powers we've not seen any of the witches really have. I will say, like, there's divination, which is mind reading, which is the next one. Like, we kind of knew Fiona could do that. And Nan could do it, but like no one's really done it because it's super
right.
OP.
They called mind reading divination, which also,
but
God, read a book, any book, please.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
But what's like really frustrating is like the other ones, including that one, that they like just never mentioned before now, and conveniently none of the women who have just been absolutely windmill slamming new powers every single day, none of them got any of these that are like insanely OP and would have absolutely caused insane plot holes if they had had it earlier in the series until like we learn about it right now.
I mean, just the fact that we know Fiona has teleportation now is like insane. Retroactively, so many choices and things she did are like, but you can teleport.
Yeah.
Why would this be a problem?
Away. Like, you could just, oh, I'm sorry, there's witch hunters here. Teleport behind them like Shadow the Hedgehog. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. Chop them in the back of the head and say nothing personnel. Absolutely. That's your right.
Actually, you know, now that I think about it too, how do you gaslight someone into killing themselves if, like, they can read your mind? I just realized that doesn't work either, right? Like, none of it worked. That whole plot
they
thread.
They were hoping she just wouldn't read their mind out of respect. I don't, it's unclear.
That's what I was saying. Like, during that whole episode where they, like, gaslight Fiona into killing herself, I'm like, she's not, like, she didn't, like, lose her powers. So, like, how does she not know that this is, like, a bunch of bullshit, a bunch of baloney? Like, why does she just suddenly be like, ah, well, this seems real. I'll just accept it. It's fine. Give me those sleeping pills. It's fine. Yeah. They do call mind reading divination, though, which isn't what divination is, in case you're wondering. It's not. The next one is Vitalum Vitalis, which is necromancy. I won't say who, obviously, but they're going to do it later, like several of them. And they all say Vitalum Vitalis, like to the person they're reviving. That's never, ever been a thing. And we've had a bunch of people revived and no one has done Vitalum Vitalis like before someone
Fireball!
Got revived.
Fireball!
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't. They don't do that in this universe. Also, when they're demonstrating Vitalum Vitalis, they make like a weird note to highlight that it is the balancing of life force between two things. So it's not like just pure revive pickup. It's like you are taking some of the death or rot into yourself, which they highlight by having the person like who did the revive look at their hands and oh no, they've got mummy grandma hands or whatever. So like not even how they've been doing necromancy up to this point. In fact, notably worse than how they've been doing necromancy.
Yeah.
Up to this
a very
point.
A very
so,
nerfed
seven
version.
Wonders.
How bad is your world building?
Not impressed.
How bad is your world building when you have to like retcon stuff like midway through, you know? But yeah.
Yeah. Before we move on from Vital and Vitalis, I do want to say when they're demonstrating Vital and Vitalis in the like silent film, remember, this is all just a figment of Fiona and our imagination. No one else is seeing this. She makes the Vital and Vitalis process between the two witches the gayest shit I've ever seen in my entire life. Parentheses positive. Like, one of the witches, like, leans down to another witch who I guess is presumably dead and, like, whispers Vital and Vitalis, like, right next to her mouth, like they're gonna kiss. And then when the other one gets revived, she is just the gayest woman alive looking at the love of her life who has revived her and now has a mummy hand. And I'm like, all right, Fiona. Interesting choice. Thank you, but interesting choice to make this particular scene just incredibly gay. Parentheses positive. Maybe that's the secret, is since none of the women in Witch House or Miss Robichaud's or whatever is gay, they don't take the debuff. I don't know. Maybe that's the debuff. Maybe it's like a WLW debuff, and that's how you get the mummy hand, because none of the other women in the house ever have that happen.
Yeah. Then we get the next ability, which is Descensum, which is apparently descending into hell is kind of what they describe it as, like going into the nether beyond and being able to return. But like, yeah, they show it in like more of an astral projection-y way, but I'm presuming they literally just mean being able to waltz into hell, say, hey boys, how you doing, having a good one, and then turn around and walk back out.
Why would that be a power?
That's a great point.
Yeah, why would you ever want to go? Like,
yeah, why? Who would want that? And if that was the case, why would like Fiona not have just done that already and been like, "Hey, Satan or whatever, can you make me immortal?" Like, we would have seen that at some point.
Someone later on does do this though, like does explicitly go to hell and see a demon from hell and is like, hey, what's up? So like, I think that was them showing her doing Descensum, which is, yeah, just insane. It's not a good ability.
Maybe, like, you know how like you go to watch a really bad movie to see if it's as bad as you've heard, you know, or like you eat her at a restaurant that sucks because like it can't be that bad. Maybe that's it. It's like, how bad can hell be? Well, there's a spell. Like, oh yeah, that's terrible.
I would like to remind you, the first power, quote unquote, we saw in this fucking show was you slept with someone and they died.
That's not so one of the like, seven wonders. In case you're wondering if the last one we haven't mentioned that, it's not.
The toxic coochie is not one of
I guess we don't have a name for that power because it's never mentioned again and no one else ever gets it.
That's one of the seven trash wonders.
Like, yeah, it's just in
plasmosis.
God.
And then the final wonder, which is pyrokinesis, also known as shooting fireballs, which they have the lady like cut her hand open and it drips blood and then the blood lights on fire, which that feels like a really big drawback for having pyrokinesis is being
gasoline
like
blood?
Insanely flammable. Yeah. Cause like if I'm bleeding and I bleed on a fire, the fire goes out, which for a human being, huge upgrade to the environment, way safer for me. So not loving gas blood.
Yeah. In fact, that's actually, I mean, we can actually say with like great certainty that American Horror Story didn't rip it off because it came a lot later. But like, that's quite literally a plot point in My Hero Academia, having nitroglycerin blood and also fire powers because one of your parents had nitroglycerin blood and the other one had fire powers. It's not great. Like, turns out that's not like a great combination. It's very, very strange how they show like, and this is the point where like Fiona's like voiceover comes in to like kind of reveal that like, oh, she's just telling shit to Queenie. And she's like, yeah, like, a lot of times when witches are trying to do the test of the seven wonders, like, they die. And the way they demonstrate that is have the woman who's trying to find out, question mark, if she has pyrokinesis, cut her hand over a candle, and then she gets lit on fire like her blood is gasoline. It feels like there's, like, a lot of other ways that you could test to see if you had pyrokinesis.
This feels like what we in the engineering field would refer to as destructive testing, where the only way to find out if someone has pyrokinesis is to kill someone with pyrokinesis. Like, it's not a great test, because, like, if you find someone who doesn't have pyrokinesis, you just have a bloody candle and you're like, great. But if you do, like, there's a really small window. Like, you have to notice the blood's on fire and be like, quick, get the fire extinguisher, and, like, put her out real fast.
Yeah, like, none of the other characters, which I guess, like, I'm thinking in my head, I guess we've only seen two witches have pyrokinesis. One is Madison, and didn't Nan also maybe have pyrokinesis before she died? I don't remember, but definitely the Thomas Kincaid lady who got shot.
A lot of them have, so it's, like, hard to keep track, you know? Like,
yeah. But, like, none of them have had to, like, bleed in order to summon the fire. They just kind of are like, I want that thing to be on fire, and then that thing is on fire. So I'm not really sure where the, like, cutting of the hand to dump on the candle. I'm not even sure that would test if you had pyrokinesis, because the candle's already lit, so, like, the fire's already there. All it proves is that your blood is gasoline, and I don't know who that benefits. Maybe, like, the default state of being for witches is that they have gasoline blood, and if you have pyrokinesis, you don't have gasoline blood.
So this theory makes no sense, but do you think they filmed the silent film before they did, like, anything else in the season, and that's why, like, it doesn't really match up with what anyone's doing?
Possibly.
No. It was, like, part of their world. It was, like, their world building Bible, their lore Bible. They used as part of it.
It definitely has the vibe of, and probably was, if we're being honest, like, a thing that was supposed to be in a very early episode, like, when they first got to the house. It probably was meant to be, like, a thing that, like, Cordelia was like, here's a thing we're going to show Zoe now that she's at Miss Robichaud's house, so that, like, the audience and Zoe, the new witch, can learn a little bit about Miss Robichaud's house, because we're a school and we teach things. Then they never did that, probably. And no one ever learned anything at Miss Robichaud's school for witches for the rest of the season. I would actually probably bet money that that was probably how it was supposed to be, how it was supposed to be formatted. And then they're like, fuck, we can't, like, make them have to learn stuff, because that doesn't fit in with literally any of the stuff we have planned. Like, how else are we going to have Queenie fuck a Minotaur if we're busy having them learn stuff in a classroom? Like, that's not the vibe we're going for. So we're just gonna scrap it, and we'll put it in the second to last episode, and it won't be real. It will just be, I guess, what Fiona is imagining in her head while she talks to Queenie, I guess. Which brings us to, like, the transition to Fiona just still talking to Queenie about this. But she's at the table now. Fiona looks, like, sad and tired in this whole scene. It's a weird vibe. Also, like, strange that it seems that, like, Fiona has decided that Queenie is going to be the next Supreme, and is like, you're gonna do this. You're gonna do the Seven Wonders test on Sunday. Like, you don't have a choice. You specifically, Queenie. And Queenie's like, I don't think that's a good idea, because I think that you want us to do this test so that you know which one of us that you have to kill. To which I say, and spoiler alert, this is probably what she planned on doing. I think that she would just kill all of them and hedge her bets if that was the case. But Queenie's like, I think you just want to know which one of us you want to kill. And then she's like, oh, by the way, while I have you here, where is Marie Laveau? And then Fiona gets, like, mad about that question, like Fiona did something, but she didn't. It was Spalding and Delphine who did something to Marie Laveau, so I'm not sure why Fiona's all, like, upset about it. And then she's like, ah, she's probably out hanging out with, like, she, like, messes up Papa Legba's name, and Queenie's like, you have to respect he's a deity. You have to respect him. I'm like, because this show does such a great job of respecting voodoo deities, right? Like, so true, Queenie. So true. And then Fiona force chokes her. Is that telekinesis? Is that what force choking is?
That's one of the trash spells with, like, vagina killing, you know, I think. It's just, like, it's because it's a ripoff of Star Wars, so it's not a big deal.
And it's also just, like, a very weird thing, because Fiona, like, has this whole, like, pop-off about respect and all that, and it's just, like, if you want to be that kind of person, you can be that kind of person, but you have to be that kind of person all the time. Yeah. And Fiona just, like, feels like occasionally does that, but then other times will just be, like, lying over a chair in an agonizingly bisexual way with a cigarette hanging out of her mouth being like, who fucking cares? And you're like, no, you gotta choose. You can either be, like, really prim and proper and about respect, or, and it's just, like, weird and out of nowhere. Fiona has a lot of weird pivots over the course of this season, but this moment in particular is just like, what are you doing? Like,
you're going to respect me as your supreme, which is like, you weren't even here for like most of it. Like, most of the girls didn't even know you were the supreme until you randomly showed up like a few days ago.
Fiona has literally on screen said, I was a bad supreme.
Yeah, she forgets a lot of the things she said. One important thing that will be relevant in this episode that she said a lot over the last, like, 7 episodes is, I love my boyfriend. All I care about is my ghost boyfriend, the Axeman. He's the most important thing to me. Fuck everything else. Fuck my daughter. Fuck being the Supreme. I love my weird, fucked up ghost boyfriend who was also a real person.
Who is a ghost.
Yeah, and is a ghost.
But also is a ghost.
Uh-huh.
He's more importantly is a ghost who is not tangible. I just
yeah. Who can teleport in and out of who can apparate at will, basically. A ghost and not a human man. Cannot reiterate enough times.
For example, if I were to try and stab him with a knife, he would simply not be stabbed and go, I'm a ghost, goofball. And yeah, just really want to drive that point home. No reason.
That was a very jazz music of you there, doll.
That was a real D flat, you piece of shit.
Oh my god. Yeah, so Fiona's like, Queenie, you gotta do the 7 Wonders test on Saturday. And which is really weird because Queenie is, I think, the only person who we haven't seen have any of the powers of the 7 Wonders, because she only has pain transference. She's the only one that has not demonstrated any of the 7 Wonders. The only thing,
like,
that she did
picked
was
up. What's her name?
Yeah.
I guess.
Well, she didn't, like, revive Delphine. She just put Delphine's head back on her body, which isn't necromancy, and I don't know what it is.
Like, I could do that. You know, yeah.
Yeah, that's actually a good point. She couldn't die. She just kind of reassembled her, like, Roblox. That's, like, less impressive. Yeah.
Yeah, it was
a
Lego.
Yeah, like, glued her back on. So, yeah, I'm not sure why Fiona has chosen specifically Queenie as the one that has to take the test, because again, she, as far as I can remember, has not demonstrated any of the 7 Wonders.
Also,
pain transference isn't one.
Also, she's the least interested. You know, like, she hasn't, like,
So I think this was a statement to, like, all of the witches of, you have to do the thing on Saturday, but it's like very directed at Queenie in this scene, which feels weird. Because I think it's implied to be just, like, for all the witches, but Queenie is also just the worst person to have as a stand-in for the fucking Scooby-Doo crew, because she left them and said, I hate the Scooby-Doo crew. I don't desire to work with the Scooby-Doo crew any longer. So having her be the like, surrogate for everyone is, like, really strange.
Yeah. And that's the end of, that's the opening sequence. In case you're wondering, that was the opening sequence. Now we're into the real episode.
Sorry, everybody. They called transportation transmutation, and it just really set me off.
Yeah, the title card said transmutation. I was like, wait, I don't remember them doing alchemy in this season. And then they show them teleporting.
They didn't turn lead into ducks?
Yeah. I was like, that's teleportation? Which I don't think is even, like, could be, confused for each other. Like, I don't even think they're, like, close enough to be confused with one another. I think they just thought it looked cool. I think they didn't want to say teleportation because that sounds, like, not as, like, official, I guess.
They were probably, like, in the writing room, like, what's this Latin word for teleportation? They're like, teleportation. So, like, all right, we'll just have to do transmutation or something. I don't know. Like, you know.
Yeah, Nobody's seen Full Metal Alchemist.
Speaking of things they thought looked really cool, I think, but do not look really cool, I think. It's we're back with Cordelia, and somehow when she gave herself the funny mud and stabbed herself in the eyes with pruning shears, she like got alien eggs in her eyes or something. I don't know. They gave her like some weird blinded prosthetic that it just looks terrible. Like, yeah, it doesn't look like someone was stabbed in the eyes. I've seen people without eyes. I know what that looks like. You don't like get a weird like vein rash that shoots out across your entire face and like cataracts that pop out of your skull. It just looks so like stupid.
The best way I can describe it is like if you've seen like just like a generic statue of a person, how their eyes are usually just like, you know, like blank, flat, like slate. Like the eyeball part, there's not usually like a chiseled out like a eye. It's just like flat under the eyelids.
Yeah.
It's like if you were to curse a statue to become made of flesh, that's what her eyes look like. They're just like weird flesh like panels behind her eyelids.
My only objection to your description is you made it sound a lot cooler than it is, which is really just like, it's just bad special effect. You know what I mean? Like, you're right, but I don't want someone who's skipping the episode to think that sounds neat because it's not neat. It's terrible.
No.
It would be so much cooler and so it would go so much fucking harder if Cordelia just had like a sick ass blindfold on. Like if she went full on like Zatoichi and just was like the blind seer, that would be so fucking tight. But instead, no, you have this dumb fuck Halloween City ass looking shit. It's not good.
You're right.
And also, it's not a good prosthetic. Like, it's not even that like, oh, they did like a bad job because they did, but like, it doesn't make any sense because, again, she gouged her eyes out with, like, pruning shears.
Cheers.
That wouldn't give her new weird flesh eyeballs. Also,
it wouldn't give her an additional layer of acid scars, which is what they did. They did the acid burn again, bonus style.
And also, like, they didn't, I don't know if you guys noticed this, but, like, the prosthetic is, like, because it obviously is something that the actress has to see through, it's not like it can't be like one to one like on her eyeballs. So it's like, I don't know, like maybe a half an inch, like maybe a little less, too low on her face. So like her eyeballs, quote unquote, are like sitting on top of her cheekbones, which makes it look like her face is melting. And she's just unpleasant to look at. Delia is just unpleasant to look at. Like Ty said, they could have gotten the point across by just having her wear a blindfold or a bandage around her eye. Like, that's
sunglasses.
A very common thing. And sunglasses. They could have done anything that would have, like, we know. We saw her get her eyeballs gouged out. Like, we know she can't see. I don't know why they set themselves up to have to do these dog shit prosthetics, and then on top of that, why they're making us look at it. I guess it's because, like many times in this show, they randomly remembered that this was supposed to be horror, and were like, "Is this scary? Are flesh eyeballs scary? Is that good?
Is this
good?
Something?
Do you hate looking at it? Yeah, is this something?" I do hate looking at it, so I guess they're right about that. She's just, like, she's truly unpleasant to look at for the rest of the episode.
And you'll have
again,
to do it.
It just looks like her. Well, yeah, we had to do it, so we're going to vicariously make you listen to us talk about it. And she's, like, I guess not 100% sure she's got the sight back from this. The sight TM is going to be whatever the fuck the show wants it to be for the rest of this episode. In every scene where the sight is used or mentioned, it will be a different thing with a different function. Delia's like, Madison, hey, I just touched all of the stuff in Misty's room, which is weird because Queenie threw it all away. And it didn't work. I can't tell where she is. Oh, no. And I'm like, I don't know that even if this was the traditional site that you had before, that it would matter, because like you can only touch stuff that's like directly correlated to the happening and get to see it.
Yeah.
It's not like a track. It's not like a find my phone situation. So like touching
it's not
her
like
clothes
a tracking
wouldn't
dog.
Do anything. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not like, for example, you could pick up Misty's sweater, take a big whiff of it, and then like follow her trail to figure out where she is. That'd be stupid if someone picked up Misty's sweater, sniffed it real deep, and went, I know where Misty is.
Yeah, I can see exactly where Misty is, including the signage outside of the place where she is that she wouldn't have seen. Yeah, that'd be really stupid, Ty. I hope they don't do that. That would be so stupid.
I hope they don't do that, Liz.
Yeah, that would be so dumb. I'm so glad you brought that up, because that sounds really dumb, and I would really hate if they did that. We'll see if that if anything
She's
like
near.
That we'll see if anything like that happens. I sure hope not. So like she's like, Madison, I don't know why I came to you, but I'm sad because my sight isn't working. I tried touching Misty stuff and it didn't work. Can I touch you? And I don't know why. And Madison, who is the person that made Misty disappear, is like, no, I can teleport now. By the way, I can just teleport now. And Madison's like, holy shit, I just teleported because I wanted to. And she kind of has the reaction that I think that we probably had when we found out teleportation was an option in this show, of, damn, that kind of changes everything, actually. Being able to just literally teleport to anywhere you want, anytime, with no, like, you don't have to do a spell or anything. You're just like, I'd like to be somewhere else. And then you are. That's a kind of a big deal. That's kind of a big deal, and especially in, like, the context of the things that have happened so far. Like, oh, there's a sniper trained on the house. Cool, we'll just teleport behind the sniper or out of the house where the sniper wouldn't know to look for us. And then Shadow the Hedgehog, like, the sniper.
We're under attack by zombies and all we need to do is get in the front door. We're in the front door. Like that, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's so many things that are just blown up by... What if, it turns out in media, there is a shocking amount of conflict that is, I'm at point A and I want to go to point B, but there's someone in the middle that does not want me to go to point B. And if you just remove that and can simply be at point A and point B functionally at the same time, yeah, it just like blows up a lot of drama, it turns out.
Yeah, it's one of the reasons that speedsters in most superhero media have to be like, horrifically like nerfed in some way, or else they just kind of blow up the whole story of like, well, why didn't X, Y, and Z speedster simply just move the bomb trigger away from the bad guy or something of that nature?
Yeah.
Like, it kind of just blows it up.
Or why they didn't. Yeah, or why they simply don't, like, get on the big birds in Lord of the Rings and leave. The real answer is because it'd be fucking boring, you dorks. Oh my god.
Exactly. But yeah, Madison can teleport now, and she's like, Lamau, I can teleport now. And Delia's like, hey, calm down. All of you can teleport. You're not going to be the next Supreme. And I'm like, I don't know. She's the only one we've seen teleport at all, and there's only one episode left. So I think maybe it's kind of important that she can do this, actually.
Do you think Delia meant, like, from her perspective, like, if you're blind and you don't pay attention a lot, everyone's teleporting?
Yeah. She's like, relax, it's not that cool. I couldn't see you anyway.
Oh, you jumped over the bed real far. Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
Anyone can do that.
You're messing with a blind lady. It's not funny. You're not funny. And then finally she's like, what's the matter? You got something you want to hide? Like, why don't you want me to touch you? And then Madison's like, whatever, you fucking weirdo. I guess you can touch me. And then Delia does. And it's like, oh no, I still don't have the sight. And I'm like, damn. If only there was like some other tests we could have done before you gouged your eyes out with some pruning shears. Feels like there were some like interim steps we probably could have done. I guess she made the smoothie. She did make a smoothie and that didn't pan out. So she just went straight to gouging out her eyeballs. You know, the natural next step in the testing process.
It was so important. She needed the sight so she could figure out the piece of information she doesn't know that will change everything. Please don't ask me what information that is, because I don't know. I don't think it exists, but Delia seems to think it does. That's the real mystery. What does Delia think having the sight is going to, like, do for her? Like, how does she think it's going to be beneficial in, like, any way?
I mean, she has a power that isn't pruning plants in her greenhouse, I guess. Which
that's really what it is.
Yeah. Like, can anyone just do what Delia was doing? Like, if you just fuck around with enough plants, like, are is
she
do the same thing?
A botanist.
Yeah. Like, can we also just do what Delia does and then be Delia? Like, does she even have any magic powers at this point? Who knows? So yeah. We cut to Queenie.
The nepotism hire at Robichaud's Academy of fucking botanist.
Look at, get a load of this lady, the Supreme's daughter, and all she does is plant plants in her greenhouse. Big whoop.
And also marries
the
witch hunter. Yeah.
Yeah, and marries the witch hunter. And remember when there was like a whole plot about like her wanting a baby and like that didn't pan out, as if that had anything to do with anything.
Oh my God.
Even though it seemed like it was going to be a core motivation for the rest of the season.
Oh, I forgot.
Yeah.
No, I totally forgot.
Same, yeah,
yeah. They tricked me. I forgot. Yeah, they got me.
Yeah, that was just a thing. They wanted to shoehorn in a lady wanting to get pregnant or being pregnant, because they do that in every single season of this television show. I fucking love it.
As of this recording, the latest season, Delicate, which I haven't watched a ton of, is actually, that's the whole focus, I think. It's, like, totally based around that, but
that's
anyway.
So cool. They love it. They, what is scarier than being pregnant? Nothing, I say, which is why I haven't done it.
No, what's scary? The scariest thing of all, women, they're same, baby crazy.
Honestly. Yeah, same. I'm just horrified at the idea.
Yeah.
Don't really want to. Pregnant? None for me, thanks. I saw Arnold Schwarzenegger go through that shit once, and he's stronger than I am. So if it was bad for him, boy howdy, I wouldn't stand a chance.
You are gonna hate the impreg tag on Archive of Our Own. Let me tell you.
Yeah, is it like a lot of male suffering? Is it a lot of guys being like, I understand women so much more now.
Less than you'd think. But
what is it? Sex is ridiculous. Well, anyway, Delia can't see shit. And Queenie is trying to figure out where Marie Laveau is, I guess. Like, she's still trying to find Marie because Marie was missing, as mentioned by Queenie to Fiona earlier. Which also Fiona was just like, I don't know, what am I, her keeper? And like Queenie's just like, yeah, that's fair, I guess. And moves on from that. But yeah, Marie is like just being so passively angry that Queenie like perceives it, goes upstairs, finds a book that I think we're supposed to assume is like some kind of powerful, like hoodoo related book. But then it's just like a book of children's drawings for the most part. She takes two looks at it, is like, ah, that's a picture of Papa Legba. I know him. That's Papa Legba. And then goes, Papa Legba, Papa Legba, descends him or whatever. And then goes to bed, crosses her arms over her, looks into the sky and sees herself floating over herself, which is like supposed to be some cool, like, whoa, we're doing an astral projection to like learn about yourself thing, but it just doesn't really make sense. And then she's in like a chicken shack.
Yeah, she's in like a sleep paralysis dream, basically. That's basically what it is, because she's like not dead, she's in bed sleeping, but she is fully dreaming that she's in, like, I guess Papa Legba hell, which is different than regular hell, we'll find out.
So,
but she's in specifically Papa Legba hell.
This is the ironic punishment hell that American Horror Story subscribe to. You have to do the thing you hate the most for all eternity thing. You know?
Yeah, and that's working
like,
at her job.
Yeah.
So what you're telling me is they heard of the concept of contrapasso from Dante's Inferno and other such works of the Divine Comedy, and we're like, we can do that. I can definitely do that. We'll pull it off.
I'm going to guess they watched the Halloween episode of The Simpsons, and they were like, we could do that. I think, you know, we're related.
Do they have the three-headed Satan chomping people in The Simpsons? Do they do that?
They do, the thing where Homer has to eat donuts, and, you know, like, and it's supposed to be hell, but he loves it.
Oh, my God.
Like, I don't understand it. Yeah.
That's so funny. That's Homer loves donuts so much, man. So funny.
Yeah.
She's working at the KFC or whatever, and someone's yelling at her, and Papa Legba just walks up and goes, oh yeah, this is hell. Your hell, because this was the worst part of your life. And I'm like, oh cool, if hell is just the worst part of your life, and I don't know, I've dealt with that once. I can probably deal with it again. So that's not too bad, actually. Like, I don't know. That's kind of a nice outlook on hell, frankly.
I coped then, I'll cope now. Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, it made me very funny. So, like, if anything, I'll just be funnier by the time I leave hell.
Yeah, keep honking, I'm reloading, but it's me getting funnier in hell.
This too will pass, and I'll make a great joke about it. But yeah, so Papa Legba just shows up, is like, yeah, it's bad. And a guy shows up and is like, hey, I've been in line forever. That chicken smells delicious. Where's that chicken? And Papa Legba, like, goes a little demon mode and is like, get back in line. He's like, okay, bye-bye. And then Papa Legba turns back and goes, this is hell for him. He has to smell chicken forever, but he can't eat the chicken. And I'm like, that's like a pretty easy hell as well.
Right?
Also, like, it's someone else's hell?
English people. Yeah, I know English people who would just be into that. Well, okay, using multiple hells together, that's just efficient.
Yeah, I guess that's
saving the workforce.
Like, I would be so pissed if I died and I ended up in someone else's hell, but, like, getting, like, a slightly, like, lamer form of torture. Like, oh, she's got to deal with all the people she hates, but I have to smell chicken for the rest of eternity?
Your personal hell is being in someone else's hell and being upset that you didn't get your own cool hell.
That is so on brand for me. That is so on brand for me. Being tilted that I didn't even get my own special hell. I have to be in someone else's shitty, boring hell.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, so that's what it is. And then Papa Lake was just like, oh, yeah, also you have to leave before sunup or you'll be stuck in your Animorph form forever or whatever. Goodbye. And then he just leaves. And she's like, what do you mean I have to leave? And he goes, time moves differently here, like the aliens from that other season. Goodbye. And then he just, like, vanishes. I don't know why there's now, like, hell rules and, like, time dilation in hell. Why did we add this?
Yeah, he does drop, like, a weird little thing, too, of, like, yeah, also, this is a different hell than the normal hell. It's my hell because you did the weird spell or whatever. Also, there's a different hell for immortal people. That is important. Like, I will not clarify what that means, but there is a special, turbo hell, I guess, for immortal people.
Well,
it's like a mind maze, like, you get trapped in. Yeah.
It's like, all right, Death Note, let's calm down here, all right? Like, all these fucking rules and everything. Thank God.
Yeah.
And so then she goes, wait, I gotta get out of here. Oh, shit. And then leaves and just wakes up. And then Papa Legba is just there, like, mid-doing a rail. Like, just like, oh, hey. Oh, you're up. That's crazy. How are you? How are you doing? And she's like, what are you doing here? And I think he just, like, tells her, like, Marie Laveau is just, like, chopped up or something.
Yeah, Delphine, like, cut her up into pieces and, I guess, spread her across New Orleans. This is the second time Delphine has had, like, a lot of mobility across the city of New Orleans. Like, for a lady who I'm sure doesn't know how to operate a motor vehicle, she's covering a lot of ground the last couple episodes. Like, a lot of ground for a lady who, A, probably doesn't know the layout of New Orleans, given that it's been 200 years, and B, doesn't know how to use the internet or a vehicle. She's getting a lot. She's getting around. Delphine's getting around, like, a lot. And I guess she put, like, all of the pieces of Marie Laveau in different places, which doesn't really make any sense. I guess it's because she doesn't want Queenie to, like, do whatever it is that she did to her that we'll never find out, I guess.
I was going to say, yeah, it's just like if you really don't want to deal with an immortal ever again, you just chop them up into a bunch of pieces and spread them out real far. Yeah, most people do, like, turn them to ashes, right? That would be the easier way. That would be the more permanent way. Is she fireproof? Did we check? Does anyone know? Are immortals fireproof? I feel like they'd have to be, yeah? Like, otherwise, like, well, you know?
I feel like this is one of those, thinking like, whatever ashes? They need it to be, you know? So, like, it's like, yeah. But then next season it might be different.
Yeah, I wish I had an answer for you, but the show doesn't care, so I have one. But yeah, also, her and Papa Legba are just drinking hot chocolate, and he asks for more marshmallows. There's a lot of Lance Reddick doing ooh speak in this episode also, like a lot of it.
Yeah.
they told him that they wanted him to do an accent, and he's like, is this anything? And they were like, yeah, that's fine. That's close enough to something, some accent. We don't know. French, maybe? It's not like Cajun. It's not that, because it's way too ooh speak for that. But he's doing his best. His best sounds a lot like ooh speak or someone with a speech impediment, but he's doing his best. And they're just, like, talking about, I don't even really know what Queenie wants in this scene, if we're being honest. I'm not sure what she's trying to get out of the scene.
I guess it's implied she's trying to find Marie Laveau somehow, but, like, none of the stuff she's doing seems connected to that in any way, shape, or form. Like, why would astral projecting into your own dream be like, this will show me where Marie Laveau is? What? How? Why? What?
Yeah, and, like, why would... I guess her thought process, because part of the conversation they have is she's like, well, you would know where she is because, like, you made her immortal, and because of that, you, like, you want her to pay you every year because she owes you every year, so you might as well help me find her because if you don't, then she's just not going to pay you anymore. And I'm like, how do you know that? How do you know that Papa Legba is who made Marie immortal?
Oh, yeah, that's not info sure. Good point.
I guess that was they were like, we only have one deity for the voodoo team, he's just gonna be a catch-all deity, so if anything happens to any of the voodoo people, it's got to be that guy, who is A, not the right deity that we've named, and B, by the end of this episode, will just be a stand-in for Voodoo Satan, essentially. They've just decided that he's all of those things together in one guy, played by Lance Reddick.
Voodoo, open parentheses, monotheistic, close parentheses.
And the only deity is Papa Legba, the kind of jovial Santa Claus deity who just liked, like, rum, basically, and
making annoying hells in this show.
Yes.
Yeah, and stealing babies, maybe? I don't know. They don't know what they want this character to be or do. He loves cocaine, though. He fucking loves cocaine. Cannot iterate enough how much this character loves cocaine. Like, it's so funny, too, because, like, you could completely remove the cocaine aspect of this character, and it would not change even one thing. Not even one thing would change if this character did not love cocaine. But yet, here we are.
Right.
Anyway, Delphine is just Kathy Bates now. There seems to be a point in most most seasons of American Horror Story where Kathy Bates will just become Kathy Bates. Whatever character Kathy Bates is playing will just become the woman Kathy Bates. And that is the point we've reached in this season. She is now just a lady who looks like Kathy Bates. And she's giving guided tours of her own house, like we've seen, the one that Nicolas Cage owned briefly. And, like, she's giving the tour, and the people on the tour are asking questions, and she's like, no, that's all bullshit. Delphine was a nice lady, who was nice and didn't murder her slaves. She was nice.
She was misunderstood. She was doing science for the people. Yeah, it's real nonsense and not like a good defense either, especially in the place full of pamphlets that say she did those things.
Yeah, also, like, there's not a reason why that character would want people not to think that she was who she was. There's a weird implication that, like, she's ashamed of it, but that lady isn't, like, at all.
Yeah, no, not even a little.
Yeah, both the real wife woman and also Kathy Bates' character up to this point, who has explicitly not shown remorse. Like, did once, and then they immediately were like, whoops, sorry, didn't mean to do that. Sorry, what? That whole just ahead watching movies thing, we forgot. Just forget that. That didn't happen. Just ignore that, please.
Let's take a mulligan, right? That's the thing.
We're going to find out in just a minute that all of that and her showing remorse wasn't about her turning over a new leaf. It was the goddamn wokes is what it was. I was crying because the goddamn wokes.
I knew it all along.
That sequence is so funny. So I guess to get to that point, she's giving the tour. And then after the tour, a very bizarre shot of Queenie across the street watching the tour through a window that's 50 feet away from her. Okay. I guess. And, like, I guess Queenie confronts her and is like, hey, I'm here now. And she's like, oh, no, you're here. And it's like, yeah, you're stupid as shit. And you went to the one place I would think you would be. And we get a flashback of Delphine bonking the actual tour guide on the head with a hammer after taking the tour and being mad about the tour. The tour that just says the stuff she did, basically, like, historically. She bonks the tour guide on the head and puts her in a cage. And then we cut to the present time where she's sitting on the cage, kicking her legs and swinging her legs like, see what I did? And Queenie's like, what the fuck is wrong with you? You have to let this lady out of this cage. And she's like, I don't wanna. And Delphine and Queenie have this, like, back and forth. And Queenie's like, but you, like, were being a better lady. Why are you awful? Like, I thought you were making some progress. And she's like, I never made any progress. When you made me watch all those movies, I wasn't, like, sad because I was a bad person. I was sad because I watched on the news that Paula Deen said the N-word and everyone was really mean to her. And she had to apologize, and that made me feel sad about it. Anthony Weiner mentioned. I don't remember if the Anthony Weiner thing happened when this was airing, because it seems like a very out of left field thing for Delphine to bring up. Yeah, like him giving a press conference, being like, "Sorry, I sent a picture of my penis to a lady," and she's like. Those goddamn wokes, we can't have anything nice. Like, I wasn't sad at all about it.
Well, that's what's so weird is, like, her point is really confused. Because at first she's like, well, it's bad that Paula Deen got yelled at for saying the N-word. Like, that's the initial thing she's mad about. But then she's like, but actually, I'm mad that Paula Deen apologized. I think she's a huge pussy. And it's like, wait, well, what's this then? And she's like, Anthony Weiner was a disgraceful man who showed his penis. Okay, yeah, that's the normal thing for a conservative old-timey lady to be mad about. And he apologized for pulling out that fat cock, and he shouldn't have. Well, okay, Delphine, so what are we doing here? Like, it's such a confused point, because she's just like, yeah, I'm mad that wokes are censoring people, and then being like, well, actually, I'm just mad that they apologized for being censored, which, like, pick a lane, especially because it's one of the things where if they had just done Paula Deen, like, okay, we could maybe work that. But putting the Anthony Weiner thing in it was very much they were doing it because it was recent, I'm guessing, and it just doesn't make sense at all.
So wait, I'm reading that the Anthony Weiner controversy was like July 2015. It looks like, but then the show aired 2013 to 2014. So maybe, I feel like Weiner had a couple though. You know what I mean? Like there was like the sexting thing.
I was gonna say, I'm like, Anthony Weiner is a time traveling pervert in this, or did they just predict Anthony Weiner? They're like that guy's last name is Weiner, so he's definitely gonna show his dick to somebody at some point.
You know what? Actually, yes. For one thing, too, I'm using Google's like pop up result, which is like wrong nowadays. So there's that. So there is also another sexting thing though he did in 2013, April 2013. So when he was running for
candidate. I guess it was topical. They're like, we got to cram a little bit about this guy whose name is Weiner in here. You know, a little shout out for the Weiner heads who are real big Weiner fans.
It would have been so much funnier if they had Delphine say something that she like didn't realize was as funny as it was if she was just like, I saw the Wiener Man on the magic box or something like that. Yeah. But they don't.
That Wiener sure is slippery. You know, yeah. And like
anything. And then, yeah, so after this whole thing of, I decided I'm actually never changing. It's the wokes this time, Queenie. And Queenie goes, all right, I'm done with this. And then stabs her a bunch. And Delphine's
no,
like,
stabs
I
her
can't
once.
Die.
Stabs her one time. Stabs her. I cannot.
Oh, is it just once?
Just one
right, the
time.
Multiple stabs are later. That's a great point. It is just one big stab. Yeah you're right.
Which makes this even more confusing. Because, I guess it works. I guess she dies.
So, I think the implication is the discussion that she had with Papa Legba earlier was... She asked specifically, like, can Delphine be made to not be immortal? And Legba explains, like, as long as Marie Laveau is immortal, Delphine will be immortal because they, like, shared that magic or something along those lines. Which Queenie responds with, well, if she's in a bunch of pieces, she won't be able to keep up her end of the bargain, right? She won't be able to give you your yearly baby. So, like, I guess the deal's off. And Legba goes, you clever witch. So I think the implication is... Queenie made Papa Legba realize the deal's off, thus making Delphine killable.
What is she, like a witch lawyer? Like, maybe that's her.
There's Queenie? A lot of that with Papa Legba. Papa Legba seems to have a real, like, enforcement problem and maybe should put down the cocaine and pick up, like, a spreadsheet or something and, like, get some fucking organization in this shit. Because the number of times, like, for fuck's sake, he was like, yeah, I need a baby. And they're like, how about this adult woman? They're like, no, okay, sure. Sure, how about that? What about this random girl we just killed? Yeah, all right. Like...
Yeah. So, Delphine's dead, I guess. And in case you're wondering, like, oh, I thought you said it was gonna be like a hook. Like, how are you mentioning this in the beginning of the or in this part one?
Wrong death.
Yeah, this one is confusing and disappointing, but this is the wrong one. There will be another one that's infinitely more confusing and disappointing by the end of it. One that will make you go, are you sure? Are you sure you didn't miss a whole episode or something? No, we didn't. It just happens the way that we're going to say that it happens. We promise. But back at Witch House, Fiona's getting her Supreme portrait painted. Myrtle is kind of dawdling about decorating the house. Fiona is very sick again. I guess we remembered that Fiona had cancer. And she's like, oh, I got like 2 weeks to live. This sucks. That's going to be so much less relevant than you think it is. And Delia comes in and is like, hey, I heard from Queenie that you're going to make her do the Seven Wonders. What the fuck's that about? And then Fiona's like, hey, remember in episode 3 when I wanted to be a good mom and I was super sad that I was a shitty mom to you? I'm that again. I am so sad that I was a bad mom. Now that it's the second to last episode, I've decided that I wish I was a better mom again. And then Fiona tries to give Delia her mom's necklace, like Delia's grandmother's necklace to Delia. And then Delia gets really sad, like, wait, are you doing this because you're dying? And she gets sad. I'm like, you tried to kill her like 3 episodes ago. What the fuck do you mean, Delia? That was the plan. The point is that we want Fiona to be dead.
I forgot. Yeah, remember when Fiona killed multiple people under your protection?
Yes.
And that you were mad about that? No? Okay. No, you just were just...
No, I'm sad that my mom's dying now. I love my mom. I've always loved my mom.
The show is frustrating. The show is so frustrating because it's like, it really is like dealing with someone who's just making no fucking sense. And you're just like, I can't deal with this right now. Like, if someone was acting like this to me, I'd just walk out of the room and be like, I'll talk to you tomorrow. Like, that's all I would be able to do.
So she takes the necklace from her mom and suddenly gets the site TM, but like the fucked up and evil Silent Hill edition of the site, where she sees the future ?
Yeah,
not
a theoretical future. Yeah. At least.
Yeah, like Alice Cullen has in the Twilight series, where she sees a possible outcome and it's fucked up. It has like a Silent Hill overlay, where she sees every single one of the women in Robichaud's house, including herself, dead and killed in like a Final Destination ass way. Everyone's killed in a weird Final Destination way.
Like, Madison's like hanging halfway off of a banister with her throat slit, like spraying blood to the floor below.
That's so disrespectful to Madison.
God, that is the second time. God, Madison, fucking. Wear a better choker, girl. Damn.
So it's like the Ghost of Christmas Future equivalent of the site, right? Where it's just like, yeah, here's what you can learn from this. It's not too late, Scrooge. Don't worry.
So in this circumstance, is Delia or Fiona Scrooge? I assume Delia, because she's the one who's getting shown visions.
In good news, her vision is so fucking wildly inaccurate, it truly doesn't matter. The thing that she sees doesn't even come... spoilers! It doesn't even come close to passing.
Yeah.
It's agonizing. Because it ends with everyone is dead, and she finds... Again, we're just kind of swooping camera shot through everyone being dead, including Delia, and then... someone bends over to go pick up a thing off the ground. I can't remember exactly what it was. And who was it who picked up the thing? That's right. It's Fiona, baby.
Ta-da!
So Delia has a vision that Fiona's going to kill every single person in Witch House and then leave and get away with it. So yeah, as noted here, 20 seconds ago, Fiona was like, hey, you can't lose your powers. Right? When did that happen? Where she said, cause like Delia does the whole thing about blinding herself. Fiona's like, you stupid fucking idiot. You can't lose powers. You should have just tried harder. Fuck.
Yeah, it's literally that. That's literally the conversation that like predicates this one is Fiona being like, oh, your eyes are so fucked up. I'm such a bad mom. Your eyes got fucked up twice while I was here. I'm such a bad mom. Also, why did you do that? You can't fucking lose your powers, you dumb fucking idiot. So, like, Fiona, 20 seconds prior to giving her an item, is like, you can't lose the power that allows you to see things through touching an item or a person. Anyway, here's this necklace. I hope you don't see anything fucked up and evil that I'm planning on doing or anything. Here you go. Sure.
Yeah. Also, hey, there's one person who is losing powers, and it's been a major plot point since episode one that she's losing powers pretty explicitly. That's Fiona. Fiona has lost powers, like explicitly has tried to do things and had them not work and been like, damn, I'm losing my powers.
Man, I hate when that happens. I guess the implication is that like, it's like, it is true transmutation of like equivalent exchange. Like you can't like lose them and they evaporate. They just go to somebody else. They don't just like go away. So maybe that's what happened to the site. She just gave it to somebody else for like a little while. Sucks to be that person, sure. I guess. Can you imagine just randomly getting the site for like a day and be like, what the fuck is happening? And then it goes away just randomly.
Do you think that's what, like, smoking salvia is? Like, you just get the sight for, like, 15 minutes, and then you feel like your teeth are rubber, and it's, like, bad.
Yeah. That's all it is. If you get a particularly bad one, you get the Silent Hill version, where everyone's dead, and it has a filter over it.
Do you know what? That's probably what it is. She's a botanist who only grows salvia and just does a bunch of salvia in the back, which is why she's so confused all the time.
Yeah. And that's about the halfway point of the penultimate episode of season 3 of American Horror Story. There is so... I can't express. There is so much that's going to happen in the next 20 minutes of television in our next episode that is just going to make you all sit in shock and awe, probably. Wondering whether or not we're bullshitting you or not.
Yeah, there are events that transpire that any other piece of media would spend a solid 10% of its runtime, like, wrapping up and putting together. And this show's just going to do it off camera. And you're just not going to fucking believe us. You're not going to believe it. It's okay. Speed run, baby. I don't blame you. Yeah. Like, I wouldn't believe me either. As somebody who did a whole bit where I ended a game early and pretended the real ending was a different thing. No, this isn't that. It just actually is like this. It's... Yeah.
It's real bad.
We can't talk about it anymore yet, but oh my... I'm so mad. I was so mad this morning. I still don't think it's real, but it is. And we'll... We'll talk about it next time, I guess.
Yeah.
See
you. Yeah. Till next time, everybody, for part two of Go to Hell. Which we already did. We already went to hell. That was Queenie did it. Well, anyway, till next time. Bye.
Bye.
So long.